The reading this morning is from Ephesians 5, 15 to 21.
Ephesians 5, 15 to 21. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ.
Thank you, Howard. I'm going to write Frank up. Well, the sermon is in two parts today, and the first part is going to be a bit more of a visual aid. Sort of, so yeah, don't freak out, it's not two massive long sermons.
Yeah, double blessing. Thank you, Howard. Okay, so we're doing two parts today. So, first part, we're just going to do the visual aid based on that scriptures that Howard just read in Ephesians. In the second half, I'm going to talk about fathers, because today's Father's Day. And we always celebrate Mother's Day, but in my experience with church, not heard too many times where we're really going for Father's Day. So today's the day. Okay, so based on that passage, there's two things I wanted to bring out. The first one was know his will. It said in the text to know his will. Do you know God's will? The best way of knowing God's will for you is in this book. I'm reading this book. This is the Bible. And it gives us instructions on life. And it tells you all kinds of things, how to live your life, how to live sexually pure, to make disciples, do evangelism, to love and respect God and others, to give to the church by giving tithes and offering, and using your spiritual gifts that God's given you. So that's your will in your life. And your will may not be exactly the same as someone else. Like, for example, Nathan doesn't need to be like me. He can be his himself. God's created him unique. He has his own gifts. So each of you have your own gifts. So I encourage you, if you don't know them, to find them. Or ask God to reveal them to you. And the second part of that passage I want to talk about is the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit. So I've got a demonstration here that I've seen on YouTube that we're going to attempt. First time. So bear with me. And my history with water is not good. But, yeah. Uh-oh. Actually, Ash isn't here today, so we're all right.
Yeah, don't ask Ash to touch him.
So, just to give you some history on that, we did it. Nathan and I and Karen go to Thursday Fellowship, which is an adults with learning difficulty group. And we talked about the Holy Spirit on Pentecost a few weeks back, and we had all kinds of water. To cut a long story short, God didn't want the water to stay in the bucket.
No, he didn't.
So it was a bucket from B&M Bargains, not as strong as this, and I was carrying it out, and it just fell apart.
The whole floor's wet. You have to charge the merchant.
Yeah, right near Barbara, she's not here today. Anyway, that's funny.
That was so funny.
So this is a demonstration. So I'm a visual guy, so I find it hard just to listen or to read. I like to see. So hopefully this will help you with Holy Spirit. So this is a visual demonstration what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to need Nathan, my helper. Oh, this side then.
What side is it?
You want to just stand there. So Nathan's my helper, because when I was cooking yesterday, I sliced my finger. So it's a bit painful today. So if you want to turn this kind of face so everyone can see. So, okay, you want to lift the beaker up? So we are a vessel. So lift that up and show everyone. This is us. And this is something which God can fill. This is empty at the moment. So when we become a Christian, accept Jesus as Saviour in our life, we hand all our baggage over to him. And we confess our sin and everything we've done wrong. And we're a new creation. So this is a new creation here. And what he does then, is he then pours living water into us. We'll lift the glass up a bit. And fills us. filled. We get filled, don't we? We get full of the Holy Spirit, and He fills us completely up to transform us. And it's an exciting event. Being a Christian isn't exciting. It's not dull. It's not boring. It's life-transforming. Anyone here who knows that point when you became a Christian, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's amazing. But none of the circumstances around this have changed. We still struggle with sin. And sin creeps back in. Lemon juice. Keep it over the bucket.
Got a big towel, don't worry.
Yes. Lemon juice. Bitterness. Bitterness can creep back in. Actually, let me do this for a moment. This is pure water. Tastes really good. Fantastic. But things can creep back in. So, bitterness. Lemon juice. Maybe you're self-righteous. So it looks pretty good and clear, but this is vinegar, and it stinks. It stinks. What about that?
Oh, that's strong. Nice.
So you look good, but actually you're not. You know, it's a different story. How about this? Frank's red hot sauce. Anger. Anyone struggle with anger? Anger can enter you. Maybe you're really angry. Oh, yeah. Don't lick it.
Uh-oh.
Or lime juice. Anyone have an idea on that one? Green is the clue.
Jealousy.
Green with envy and jealousy. Yeah, there you go. Put that in as well. Doesn't come out so quick, but it's potent. This one. Next one are hang-ups. We have hang-ups in life. Maybe an addiction that we're struggling with, or different habits bother us. So this is Coke. The demonstration was beer, but I didn't bring that today. And that gets added in as well. This is all. Still polluting us. And the last one, the really dark stuff. Maureen's favourite coffee. The joking aside, the dark stuff, the hate for other people, the adultery, pornography, anything else which really separates you from God and you struggle. And that's us going into the world representing Jesus, trying to preach the gospel, but actually people don't notice any difference in us, right? We look like that. So how do we fix that? We need to come to God every morning and ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. To fix that, we come to God the same way we did when we became a Christian, is to approach Him with a submissive attitude, confess our sins, and ask for more of the Holy Spirit. And then what He does is He fills us with living water. And He keeps filling us with living water. And what happens when the water goes in? It also overflows. And He carries on. We keep asking for more, and He fills us again. Every morning, we can wake up and say, God, please fill me anew today by Your power. Clean me, cleanse me. And bit by bit, He will fill us. And that will transform us. So before, when we were in the other state, we're not living in God's fullness. We're saved, yeah, great, going to heaven, but we haven't got the real fullness of God because we're not really filled to the overflowing of the Holy Spirit. and God will fill us. And actually, sometimes when God wants us to do a real special assignment, it looks something like this. We'll blow our socks off by filling us. I don't know what to tell me. And when we're like this, people will be interested in our faith because they'll see a difference and they'll say, something's different about this guy. Mm-hmm. And then it says in Ephesians, just to read it again, don't drink too much wine, that cheapens your life. This is from the Message. Drink the Spirit of God, huge draughts of Him. Sing hymns instead of drinking songs. Sing songs from your heart to Christ. Sing praise over everything. Any excuse for a song to God the Father in the name of the Master, Jesus Christ. So if we need to take this, thank you, Nathan. Hopefully. Tastes really good. Vinegar's gone. That's what it's like to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Is that we need to go to God every day and ask to be filled. Then you'll see your life transform and people around you. So that's the message for today on that. Thank you, Nathan.
Absent fathers.
Absent fathers. Someone's seen my notes. Carry on.
Broken relationships.
Broken relationships, yeah. One more.
World Cup.
World Cup.
Stop the fathers watching it.
Amen for the World Cup. Okay, good. Yeah, things you could have said, homelessness, racism, terrorism. But yeah, I'm quite impressed that people picked up quickly on the fatherless thing. That's a big issue. And I think if we solved the fatherlessness issue, a lot of these other social issues would be resolved themselves. So just some stats. This is taken from America a few years back. But it said 90% of homeless and runaway children come from fatherless homes. 85% of children with behaviour disorders come from fatherless homes. 63% of youth suicides come from fatherless homes. And 40% of children in father-absent homes have not seen their father for at least a year. So that's a big issue. We live in a massive fatherless generation, and we're called to be strong parental figures. You may not be a dad yourself, but you're not discounted, because even though you're not a biological dad, God can call you to be a spiritual dad for other people. There's lots of people in our own church or outside who need a spiritual dad, and you can have the skills from God to do that. We need to shift our culture, and there's a desperate need for fathers to rise up. How are fathers portrayed today on TV, in general programs? My observations are, in a general program, the mother is the active one, the engaged one. The father is distant, dumb even, disconnected,
yeah.
Airhead, mm-hmm. Abusive sometimes, pointless. The society gives a really negative picture in a lot of programs for fathers. And we need to rise up as Christian fathers by demonstrating how we should live. So, a father's role. What's a father's role? A father gives identity, significance, and love. God says, I want to use you to father a generation. What's the greatest gift from a father? Any idea?
Love.
Yeah, yeah.
Love. Yes. I think the greatest gift is his presence, being there. And then from that, giving love as well. So thank you, Ruth. We all need to have a heart of a father. What's a heart of a father like? Loving, empowering, walks through life with you, does not move, celebrates with you, prays for you, cares for you. So how do we learn to be a good father? There's a clip now from Eric Johnson from Bethel, talking about how to be a good father, but to be a good son first, to enable to be a good father. Thank you. Set your gaze on him, God. He will shape you to be a good son. Humble yourself and submit yourself to the good father. Get in the word in the Bible. Read the Bible and you'll be shaped by it. I see myself as a bit of plasticine, and whatever shape you've been in before, God can shape it into something different. Whatever you've had in your past, God can shape it to be something different. That's the amazing thing of knowing God. So, what else for being a good father? We said earlier the greatest gift is his presence, a father's presence. So, showing up and being engaged. It's not just enough being there, we need to be engaged. Physically and emotionally. So being there and doing something with your children, and also emotionally, listening. Kids know the difference if you're really there. I've known times when I've been there, but not there. Work has been going on in my head, and I haven't given my full attention. And when they come and find you in the house, be available. Don't push them away. Be a dad who's open. But if they come and find you and you're doing a job, you stop and you give them attention and listen. That makes them feel important rather than, can you tell me quickly, I've got to get on with this job. Yeah? I'm learning all these lessons. I'm not perfect. By doing this sermon, actually challenges me tremendously. Having access to dad is really important. And want to be there. Show eye contact. Very important to have eye contact. Switch the TV off sometimes when they want to talk to you. Don't be a dad who's there, but not really there. And also, when you come home from work, use that time on the way home to decompress. So to leave the work stuff behind, so that you're available to give full attention when needed. Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, train a child up in the way he should go, so even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Number 3, be the greatest encourager. What does it mean to encourage? Actually, it means to take some courage from you and to put it in someone else. That's to be an encourager. The world actually tries to discourage. Look into the eyes of people and to your child and say, actually, you belong here. You can do this. The world tells us the opposite. And look into the eye and let the words really penetrate that you're important. We are the prophetic word to our kids. The words we speak over our kids have big impact. And we need to remind ourselves of when God's spoken to us those in the past. Communication is so important. We want the whole world to know that you are my son. So have that kind of perspective with your children. Speak words of affirmation. Tell them that you love them. Tell them that you're proud of them. And show love. Ephesians 6 verse 4 says, fathers, don't provoke your children to anger, but bring them in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And in Colossians 3, verse 22, fathers, do not exasperate your children, so they will not lose heart. Okay, just before we go on, I've got one more clip now, but it's quite powerful, actually. A few of you might struggle with this. I know it's quite emotional, but go with it. It's a very good message. Powerful stuff. Okay, number 4. Knowing your kids. Find out who they are. Do you know who they are? They're individuals. They're not exact copies of you. They have their own ways of thinking. They have their own personality. God created them different. Find out what they're passionate about and do it with them. I've got a quick, very quick story here. So when I was writing this sermon, God challenged me, and my son was doing something last Wednesday, asked me to go, if I wanted to go with him. And my immediate reaction is, no, I've got to do my sermon. I've got to spend time to do this. But I thought, no, I will go with him. I went with him, and it ended up a really powerful evening in more ways than another. Or maybe I'll share that another time. But it just shows that when you spend time, it's amazing. So know your kids. Number five, be the biggest champion. So provide safety and protection and open doors for them. Be the champion for them. Number six, steward your heart. Create a context for your family to thrive. When you're wrong, say sorry, apologize, and show that. It will unlock them to be able to do that in the future as well. Don't be a dad stuck with emotions that are blocked. Culture is looking for men who understand who they are, how their heart is doing. Be an open person and let God shape you into the guy he wants you to be. Number six. Take investment from others. Our kids need, and children need, feedback from other people, not just us. So have other people giving feedback into their lives. Often you can say something to your child 20 times and then they won't do it. No. They'll hear it from someone else and then they will do it. But they'll remember that you said. So have other people invested in their lives. Let other people speak into their lives. And that's why it's important we can be spiritual dads as well, because we can speak into other people's lives. Be the same person at home as outside. Be authentic. Be the same guy at church as at a football match. Be the same guy at church as in the pub. Be authentic. Admit when you're wrong. I mentioned that earlier. When you mess up, be honest. Apologise. We're all human, we make mistakes. But we have a Heavenly Father who is perfect. And no matter what your dad has been like, he is perfect. And we can look to him for examples. 1 John 3 says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us. See what great love the Father has lavished on us. That we should be called the children of God. That's what we are. God's our dad. We call him Abba. That's converted, translated. The word is more like daddy than father. We've got a spirit of sonship. So just for a moment, say out loud with me, if you want. God is my father. So God is our father. I am a child of God.
I am a child of God.
Believe it. Understand the Father's love and experience it. This is one thing we go after in our soaking sessions. In our soaking sessions on a Thursday in the prayer meeting, we lay there and we say to God, come and speak to us. We're staying still, and it's a powerful time. Anyone who's been to those times will testify. He does. When you ask, he does. He's a good father. His presence is there, and he's always available. Never too busy. John 16, 26 to 27. In that day you will ask my name. I'm not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me. And I believe that I came from God. That's what Jesus said. So, who's your daddy? Sometimes we can have blockages from God based on our earthly fathers, or block us receiving from God. When people hear the word father, it can mean several different things: memories, feelings. Some may be bad. Some thoughts of father are feelings of love, affirmation, and guidance. For others, it's feelings of rejection, criticism, and abandonment. Nathan, could you bring those bits on the side there? Just going to go through some quick examples. So the first one could be an absent father. Not present creates fears and abandonment issues. And from that, if you turn it around, you can have trouble trusting God to be there for you. If your own father wasn't there, sometimes you can believe that God won't be there for you. Next one, passive. Passive father. Did you have a passive father? I had a passive father. I still have a passive father. I still love him, but he's a passive father. Not that responding or involved. Unemotional or withdrawn. And that can cause hidden anger and difficulty getting in touch with your own emotions. If you don't see your father showing emotions, it can be difficult for you to show emotions. Next type example, performance-orientated father. Was your father like this? Has high standards and does not balance them by enough love. Points to faults and failures. Love and affirmation is only given when you perform. And then your perspective to God can feel like you never feel like you can do anything right. Nothing is good enough for God. You totally feel like you're inadequate. The next one, authoritarian father, is strict and lives by the rules. Obedience is valued above relationship. You see, and that has a knock-on effect, turn around, you see God as watching you to ensure that you obey all these rules. He's a taskmaster. And it's hard to deal with a real relationship with him because you think it's all about you doing and not you being. And the last one is an abusive father who hurts you physically, emotionally, and verbally, and so on. Creates inner pain, fear, and anxiety. And that causes you to feel God is too harsh. He's harsh and he might punish me in the future and cause me hurt. You may have had a father like that, but let me tell you, you've got a perfect father in God who loves you exactly as you are and wants you to shape you into the person that he's created you to be. So look to your perfect father. Thank you, Nick. Romans 8:15 says, the spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear. Rather, the spirit received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Bible clearly teaches us that our Heavenly Father guides us. He enjoys fellowship with us. And he's glorified through us. Allow your Heavenly Father to develop the loving Father relationship with you that he's seeking and enjoy it for all eternity. In a couple of the songs there's some words. Abba, I belong to you. You're more real than the wind in my lungs. You're more real than the ground I'm standing on. Your thoughts define me. You're inside me. You're my reality. Abba, I belong to you. And earlier, good, good father. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Psalm 68:5-6. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing. but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. God sets the lonely in families. Isn't that great? And he pours out unconditional love on us, love and encouragement, even in discipline sometimes, which we can struggle with. But he loves us through that discipline. He's proud of you. He is proud of you. And he wants to tell you, if you give him the time to tell you, and to do a deeper relationship. God is the only perfect Father. All our fathers have issues. And even as us as fathers, we have issues. But we look to the perfect Father to help us. Soak in his presence. Discover more of his heart. And then he'll shape your heart to be more like his. So Rachel, you're going to come and do some...